Please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 30. Genesis 30, halfway through the chapter, we're resuming this evening our studies in the life of Jacob. And last time we saw the messy family situation of Jacob with his two wives, Leah and Rachel, and then two of their maidservants are brought in, and it's a messy, dysfunctional family. We pick up our reading from verse 25 of chapter 30, and our study is verses 25 to the end of the chapter this evening. An interesting passage if you have even the smallest interest agriculturally. This is a very intriguing passage indeed. Let us hear God's word. As soon as Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go to my own home and country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, that I may go. For you know the service that I have given you." But Laban said to him, "If I have found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Name your wages, and I will give it." Jacob said to him, "You yourself know how I have served you, and how your livestock has fared with me. For you had little before I came, and it has increased abundantly. And the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also?" He said, "What shall I give you?" Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flock and keep it. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep, and every black lamb, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and they shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later when you come to look into my wages with you. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, shall be counted stolen." Laban said, "Good, let it be as you have said." But that day Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted, and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had white on it, and every lamb that was black, and put them in the charge of his sons. And he set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock. Then Jacob took fresh sticks of poplar and almond and plane trees, and peeled white streaks in them, exposing the white of the sticks. He set the sticks that he had peeled in front of the flocks in the troughs, that is, the watering places where the flocks came to drink. And since they bred when they came to drink, the flocks bred in front of the sticks, and so the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob separated the lambs and set the faces of the flocks towards the striped and all the black in the flock of Laban. He put his own droves apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. Whenever the stronger of the flock were breeding, Jacob would lay the sticks in the troughs before the eyes of the flock, that they might breed among the sticks. But for the feebler of the flock, he would not lay them there. So the feebler would be Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants, and camels and donkeys. Amen. Well, as we're returning to our studies in the life of Jacob, our theme this evening is God blesses Jacob's. It should be something of a surprising theme, given what we know of Jacob. He's a con man, isn't he? He's a deceiver. He has wriggled and cheated his way through life. We saw last time, just the previous chapter, how utterly dysfunctional his family was. He has 12 children to 4 women. Talk about carnage. And yet, this evening we see God blessing this man. The very final verse of the chapter tells us he increased greatly, had large flocks, female servants, male servants, camels and donkeys. He became exceedingly prosperous, all because God was blessing him. That's what we're looking at this evening. God blesses Jacob. And this should be of great interest to all of us, because the reality is, as we've been seeing in this character study, we are like Jacob. We are Jacob. We know what it is to be broken men and women. We know too what it is to be cheaters and deceivers. We are unworthy people. We're weary and hurting. We're just like Jacob. And the wonderful thing then this evening is that God doesn't only bless Jacob, but he blesses Jacob's, plural. He blesses Jacob's. And if he can bless this Jacob, well, surely he's able to bless you. He's able to bless me. 3 things to see this evening. Firstly, God blesses us in difficult situations. God blesses us in difficult situations. What is Jacob's situation? Well, he's far from home, isn't he? He's gone to what the Bible calls the land of the people of the East. And he's been there 14 years. He's been working for his uncle Laban. He's married 2 of his daughters, Leah, then Rachel. He's had children by both daughters, children by their maids, 11 sons and 1 daughter. 12 children under 14 years of age. It's not a very happy home either. The 2 wives, desperately jealous of each other. The atmosphere is not pleasant. In verse 25, the start of our passage, we see Jacob wants to return home. His favorite wife, Rachel, has borne a son. He's been waiting for a son from Rachel, and she's just given birth to Joseph. He's ready to go back home now. But he's penniless. He's worked, labored, and served for his uncle Laban 14 years. Hard labor with very little to show for it. Look at verse 30 of the passage. When shall I provide for my own household also? You can see up until now he's been providing for Laban and Laban's household. You can notice back verse 26, he even has to ask for his wives and ask for his children that he might leave with them. Laban has Jacob in a tight spot. A very difficult situation. In some respects, he owns Jacob. But then amazingly, in response to Jacob's request to leave, go back home, verse 28, Laban offers him a blank check, really. Verse 28, name your wages. Wouldn't you love your boss to say that? Name your wages, Jacob. And Jacob names his wages. It's a rather strange deal, based on the color of the sheep and the goats. And he chooses to be given the unusual animals, the uncommon animals. He asks for the black, speckled, spotted, striped animals. Laban, you can keep the white ones. You keep the solid, plain-colored ones. Jacob will have the others. And he's very much asking for the minority share here. It appears this has been revealed to him in a dream. The next chapter, chapter 31, verses 10 to 12, Jacob is retelling the story, and he says himself, The angel of God said to me in the dream, lift up your eyes and see, all the goats that mate with the flock are striped, spotted, and mottled. So it's been revealed to Jacob. But still, all the same, this deal highly favors Laban. It highly favors Laban. You could certainly say that Jacob is in a highly difficult situation. And yet, by the end, God has blessed him. And friends, does this not touch down in our lives? Are there not all sorts of difficult situations that we might find ourselves in? Maybe at present it's your work, just the difficulties, the uncertainties, the plain awkwardness of a situation. Perhaps it's no work, you're looking for work, it's just not there. You might find yourself in the circumstances of sickness, poor health, or loneliness. Maybe circumstances that just aren't ideal in your home life or your marriage, tensions or worries or fears. You should see this evening that God blesses in the midst of difficult situations. In the midst. Can you see that? Jacob isn't taken out of the situation for God to bless him. For 6 long years, he's in this situation. And God blesses him in it. Maybe as you look to your future, you can't see much light. You can't see your way out of a situation. You wonder how you will cope. God's message is, I will bless in the midst of the difficult situation. Perhaps your difficulties, your unfavorable circumstances, perhaps they're in your past. Maybe you've been sinned against. Maybe there's a great deal of hurt. Is that a barrier to blessing? Will that prevent God bringing blessing into your life? Well, was it a barrier for Jacob? Not at all. It doesn't mean God won't bless. Your past doesn't prevent God from blessing. And isn't that good? Because who hasn't got a past? God blesses in difficult situations. Or we look at the world and we see men and women, young people with no thought of God whatsoever, no idea, no contact with the gospel, and it looks so impossible. Maybe you're praying for someone this evening and it just looks utterly impossible that they would ever come to saving faith. Well, we're being shown in the life of Jacob that it's sometimes in the most difficult of circumstances that the blessing of God comes. But perhaps you're saying to yourself, oh, Robert, that sounds very nice. It's a little naive. You don't know the kind of people I'm up against. You don't know the difficult people in my life. I may not know precisely, but look at Jacob. Who's he up against? His uncle Laban. You wouldn't buy a used car from Laban, would you? He's an oily, sleazy tow rag of a man. He doesn't want to lose this asset to his farm. As Jacob says himself in verse 30, look, uncle, you had little before I came. It has increased abundantly. The Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. And that explains then, Laban doesn't want them to go. And so verses 35 and 36 show us how wicked this uncle is. The same day the deal is made, don't miss that, the same day, he goes straight down to the flocks. He removes all of Jacob's animals, so all the speckled, spotted, and striped, and he sends them away with his sons, 3 days' journey away. Talk about a difficult, untrustworthy person. And yet, God still brings blessing to Jacob. Perhaps you're working with a very difficult person. Someone who is simply just hurtful and spiteful and unhelpful. Perhaps there's someone in your life who would almost go out of their way to keep you down. They're simply a pain in the neck. Perhaps you have felt the backstabbing of others. And people have failed you. So-called friends, perhaps even in the church, maybe family. Perhaps you've been left high and dry in a business deal. Well, you should see this evening, God blesses in the midst of the difficult situation. He is the altogether faithful one. And sometimes, not only will he bless you, but he'll use you the way he used Jacob. He'll use you to bring blessing to that unhelpful, spiteful person. Didn't God use Jacob to bring blessing into Laban's life? And even when Jacob left, taking with him his flocks, Laban was still much better off than life before Jacob. And that might be God's way with you, to bring blessing to that difficult person. So whatever trouble, whatever difficulty, however unhelpful that person might be, God is still able to bless. And more often than not, he blesses when things are at their most difficult. So God blesses in difficult situations. Then we see then, secondly, God blesses us despite our sin. God blesses us despite our sin. Well, has Jacob been cured of his scheming? Certainly not. This whole business of the sticks and the stripes, the watering troughs, and the mating of the strong with the strong, and the mating of the weak with the weak, what's going on here? Well, it seems there was this superstitious custom of the day that whenever animals were breeding, if they would see something of a particular pattern or color, that would influence the pattern or color of the young. So if they saw it while they were breeding, that would influence the young that would be brought forth. It's just myth, as far as I'm aware. I grew up on a dairy farm with lots of cows. My father never did this once. It's not very clear how this works. But what is clear is that Jacob is doing his best to twist the deal. And he's acting in an unworthy manner. As for the mating the strong with the strong and the weak with the weak, well, that's not myth, is it? That's good, wise farming. But you can notice, Jacob, he only pulls out the trough trick when the strong sheep and the strong goats are breeding. When the weak ones are breeding, he just lets them get on with it. Laban can have their young. But Jacob, he wants the strongest of the flock. And so in essence, his share, they're getting increasingly strong, increasingly healthy. Laban's share getting weaker and punier and feebler. So Jacob, he's stacking the decks in his favor. And he's up to his old tricks again. He doesn't deserve this blessing. And yet, we read, in spite of his actions, God does bless him. God does bless him. And we need to see that it's God blessing him here. Jacob isn't blessed because of his cunning and his deceit. The sticks in the troughs, they don't really bring the blessing. The blessing was from God. And Jacob realizes this, to be fair. The very next chapter, verse 9, He says, he's speaking to these daughters of Laban, Rachel and Leah. He says, God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. He says, I recognize that God is the one who has given the increase. God is the one blessing Jacob. And friends, this is worth thinking about because it is so staggering, really. This is amazing. God blessing Jacob. Because he's blessing Jacob despite his sin. Not because of the sin, despite it. Now, we need to see this because we are too like Jacob. We're completely unworthy of any blessing. We don't deserve blessing. We fail God every day. And yet, the wonder of the gospel is that our loving Father in heaven doesn't give up on us. And he forgives us, and he picks us up, and he loves us, and he blesses us. Now, this doesn't give us a license to sin. Far from it. But when we do, and when we completely blow it, when our sin is breaking our hearts, we wonder how God could ever love us, we need to remember Jacob. We need to remember that God blesses Jacobs. He blesses in spite of our sin, in spite of our unworthiness. And while he doesn't break the letter of the deal, Jacob certainly is breaking the spirit of this deal. He's bending the rules in his favor. But he didn't need to. He didn't need to. And I was thinking just over this last week or two, he really didn't need to do this. God had promised to bring blessing into Jacob's life. And even if Laban had taken away all of his rightfully owned flock, God would still have brought blessing his way. And who knows, if Jacob hadn't resorted to this scheming, he might have been even better off if he had just trusted in God. But you've got to be smart to survive, Jacob would say. You've got to bend the rules a little. Lots of people do it. And that's what a lot of believers say, isn't it? When it comes to our work, or our tax returns, or our studies, you've got to bend the rules a little. Well, we're just doing what Jacob did, aren't we? Forgetting that God is perfectly capable of making sure blessing will come. We never need to resort to ungodliness for God to bless. He's God, isn't he? He can bring the blessing. But perhaps you're sitting here this evening, you're starting to ask the question, hang on a minute, Robert, a lot of talk about blessing. Where is this blessing? My bank account isn't booming. I haven't experienced anything like this prosperity Jacob experienced. What connects this promise of blessing to me? What connects this promise of blessing to us as a congregation? Well, the answer lies, doesn't it, in the true and the better Jacob. We want to look thirdly. God blesses us because of Jesus. God blesses us because of Jesus. We don't receive blessing because of who we are. We don't receive blessing because of how worthy we are. We receive blessing because of how worthy Christ is. He came and he stood in your shoes so that you could receive blessing. Let's look briefly at two ways that Jesus brings this blessing, and it's kind of paralleling our first two points. Firstly, Jesus secured blessing in a difficult situation. You think you're in a difficult situation? Jesus secured blessing in a difficult situation. Leaving heaven, coming to earth, being born in a manger, being regarded all his life as an illegitimate child, facing the temptation of Satan himself, facing the trial of the cross, going to the tomb. It was all so unpromising. He was surrounded his whole life, wasn't he, by people who let him down, untrustworthy people. His own family let him down. His disciples let him down. Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him. The religious leaders should have been for him, but they were always stacked against him. Those were the circumstances he faced. How do you know blessing has been secured for you? You look at Jesus, and you look at the cross. Was there anything more difficult than that situation? Jesus going to the cross willingly, voluntarily, in order to secure blessing for you and for me. You think that you can't be blessed in your situation? You think that blessing can't ever come to your family? Jesus says to you, look, I endured hell itself, to bring blessing to you. Don't ever say God can't bless in your situation. Don't ever say that no good can't come from where you're in. Here's Jesus securing blessing in the most difficult of situations. This is heaven's guarantee of blessing for his people. Jesus secured blessing in a difficult situation. But then we can see in a second way, Jesus secured blessing for sinners. It was sinners that he secured blessing for. Of course, we don't deserve any of this. We could never deserve it. Grace, by its own definition, is undeserved. Jesus coming to pay the price for us so that we could enjoy blessing. Our sins being heaped upon him. How he bore our sins in his body on the cross. How he took our unworthiness so that we could have his worthiness. So, my friend, if you've gone to Jesus, and if you're trusting, believing in him this evening, he secured blessing for you. He has secured blessing for sinners. What does it mean in practice? For some of you, it might mean prosperity here on earth. Financial, material prosperity. That's a blessing from God. You should praise God for it. It's wonderful when God blesses his people with prosperity and when it's channeled back into his kingdom. But for most of us, God's blessing might not mean material prosperity. That doesn't mean we're not blessed. Because the truth is, his Son is the greatest blessing. What do the scriptures say? In him are all the riches of God. He's the greatest blessing. If you have Christ this evening, you're exceedingly prosperous. If you're following him tonight, you're a very wealthy man. You're a very wealthy woman. You're a very wealthy young person. You have riches that cannot perish or spoil or fade. They're being kept in heaven for you. You're rich beyond compare if you have Jesus. Rich beyond this world's understanding. You are blessed this evening, beyond your wildest dreams. Not only has your spiritual bank account of debt been totally cleared, but it's been filled to overflowing with the wonder of the perfect life of Jesus. You've been declared right with God forever and ever and ever and ever, right with God. You're a child of God. You're bound for heaven body and soul. You are exceedingly rich. If you're a Christian this evening, Roman Abramovich and Bill Gates are beggars compared to you. You're wonderfully rich. You have wealth that will never disappear. And the wonderful thing is, you haven't even seen the half of it. You haven't even seen the half of it. How we praise God this evening. For he is a God who blesses Jacob's. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, tells us, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." For your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. If you have Jesus this evening, you are exceedingly rich. Amen.